Patricia Fulton. What is her address?
That you must find for yourself.
Okay, can do. What else?
You will kidnap her and hold her until further instructions.
I know this, babe. I could fall in love with this job.
If she attempts to escape, kill her.
Presenting The Whisperer, starring Carlton Young. The Whisperer, a brilliant man who, losing his voice in an accident which crushed his vocal cords, worked his way deep within the crime syndicate to help destroy it from within. To the underworld, his familiar rattling hiss is the voice of authority, to be obeyed without question. Then a miracle of surgery performed by Dr. Benjamin Lee restored his natural voice, enabling him to resume his real identity. Now, as Philip Gault, aggressive young attorney, he skirts the thin edges of death, living his dual role. For as the Whisperer, he sets in motion the forces of the syndicate in Central City. Then, as Philip Gault uses his knowledge to fight the organized network of crime which seeks to control the fate of millions in cities and towns across the nation. The only person besides Dr. Lee who knows the Whisperer's real identity is the doctor's nurse, Ellen Norris. Now she listens as Philip Gault, using his Whisperer's voice, reports back to his superiors in the syndicate.
Instructions given to Mendoza.
When he has completed the first part of his assignment, he will call you.
Where is she to be detained?
This information is being purposely withheld.
Now you're making war on women?
The syndicate makes war on anyone who gets in its way, Ellen. Step on one tentacle and the other seven converge and squeeze you to death.
Who's Patricia Folsom?
Wife of Barney Folsom, former syndicate trigger man.
Former trigger man?
Yes, he's marked for death. Come on, I'll tell you as we go. I purposely didn't tell Mendoza where Patricia Folsom lives because I want to get there first and take her to safety.
Can't you call her as a Whisperer and warn her?
She wouldn't believe it. And besides, she may have heard that her husband's orders always come from the Whisperer. If she has, she'd spot the double cross in a minute.
Why kidnap her?
Barney Folsom is a killer, hoodlum, and hoppy. Unfortunately, he's a very handsome man. Like most, he's very vain. Last week, he was sent to San Francisco to do a rub-out for the syndicate. He met some little cutie and bungled the job. The little cutie identified him to the police, and so he has to die.
Well, if he stays undercover, won't he be safe?
No. Sooner or later, the police will pick him up. Then he'll be minus one daily ingredient, which he has to have.
Oh. When the craving comes, he'll talk his head off.
Yes, and that's why the syndicate has to kill him before the police find him.
Well, what did his wife do?
Well, she's the only thing Barney Folsom loves more than himself. When word gets around that she's being held, he'll show himself and...
Then two more people die.
That's right. Barney deserves anything that comes his way. But I hear that his wife is a pretty regular woman who happens to love the wrong guy. It's happened before.
And it'll happen again. Bill, when are you going to get out of this horrible syndicate?
You know what happens to people who try that.
But you can't fool them forever.
Ellen, I'm in until they discover I double-cross them or until the people awaken to the danger and wipe it out.
Do you know Mendoza?
No, he's probably from out of town. He seems to know Patricia Folsom, and that makes his job easier. He slips into town, kills her husband and her if necessary, and grabs a train out of town, and 10 hours later he's in Cuba, New York, or even Europe.
Oh, Phil, step on it. I don't want that to happen if we can stop it. Yes?
Mrs. Folsom?
Yes.
I'm Philip Gault, and this is Miss Norris.
Hello, Mrs. Folsom. How do you do? Will you come in?
Thank you.
Please be seated. Now, what can I do for you?
Mrs. Folsom, I'm a lawyer.
Oh, am I in trouble?
I'm afraid you are.
And you're here to help me?
Yes.
I'm sorry you've wasted a trip, Mr. Gault. When I need your services, I will call you.
Close the door, Mrs. Folsom. Unless you want the neighbors to hear how your husband bungled a murder.
That's enough. I don't like the kind of life I lead. I don't like some of the things my husband does. But we're both several rungs above the slimiest creature that crawls on the earth. How much do you want?
Mrs. Folsom, we're not here to blackmail you.
No?
To save your life, if you'll listen.
I'll listen, but I won't answer questions.
All right. Suppose that recently a man, perhaps your husband, Barney Folsom, went out of town.
He did go out of town. His employer sent him on business.
Who was his employer, Mrs. Folsom?
The Cato Insurance Company.
As a lawyer, I happen to know that is a front for a network of organized crime known as the Syndicate.
You seem to know a lot of things, Mr. Gault.
I also know that this man was sent to do murder.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Barney's no murderer.
That's beside the point. The Syndicate feels that he bungled the job and therefore has to die.
No. Surely you're wrong, Mr. Gault. Barney doesn't let anyone run over him.
And you know what would happen if the police picked him up and kept him several days in solitary.
But he's tried so hard.
I know. The Syndicate intends to kidnap you and hold you until he tries to rescue you. And then...
That's enough. What do you want me to do?
I want to hide you in a safe place.
Still, my apartment. No one would think of that.
That'll do nicely, Ellen. Then I want to get word through to the underworld for your husband to call a certain telephone number.
You can use mine.
He wouldn't do it. He'd suspect a trap.
Not if you gave Phil some little pet phrase that you call each other. If he heard that, he'd know the message had something to do with you.
Yes, that would do it. You must have a pet phrase we can use.
We do. Of course, it sounds silly to anyone else.
Never mind that. What is the phrase?
Love dumpling.
Love dumpling?
I said it sounds silly when anyone else says it. But to Barney and me, it has a very special meaning.
Can't be helped. We'd better get moving, Mrs. Folsom. Believe me, the danger is very real and possibly very near.
I'll pack some things.
Ellen will loan you what you need. You take my car. I'll meet you later.
What are you going to do?
Stay here and get a look at...
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Now, don't argue. Get going now.
Phil, I don't want to leave you.
Please, Miss Norris. Let's do as he says. Suddenly, I'm very much afraid.
All right.
I'll call you later.
Hello, Butcher.
Yes?
I'm looking for a friend of mine.
You must have the wrong apartment.
Wait. Never slam the door in my face.
Do I look like a friend named Patricia?
How do you know her name?
I don't, but you blurted it out when I opened the door.
This is apartment 308.
It is indeed, but I'm not your friend. In fact, the more I see of you, the less I like you. Now break it off before I learn to hate you.
Maybe my friend is inside. I'll look and see. Maybe in the closet, huh?
Do all your friends live in the woodwork?
Schmatzen.
I just moved in today.
You're a schmatzen.
Look, the people I subleased from said they had to leave town in a hurry.
You're still a schmatzen.
What is this schmatzen business?
I'll explain it to you. When you meet one, there's only one cure for a schmatzen. And it goes like this.
Next time, forget the schmatzen and pay attention to your judo.
Schmatzen. I got a present for you when I get time.
Yes?
Ellen?
Are you all right?
Except that I'm a schmatzen.
A what?
Schmatzen. I'll tell you all about it later. Let me speak with Mrs. Folsom.
Just a sec. Hello, Mr. Galt.
Mrs. Folsom, where's the best place to drop the word for your husband to contact me?
Sarah Joe's. 16th Street and 54th Place.
Right.
Oh, just a minute. Ellen wants you. Phil, why do you want Barney Folsom to contact you?
To try and convince him that it's safer to give up to the police and face a charge of attempted murder. I think he'll do it to save his wife. Once the police have him, she's safe from the Syndicate. I'll call you in an hour. Now, what does a man have to do to get a drink in this place?
Keep his tongue civil so he can live long enough to tell me what he wants. There's the list. Prices, too.
Well, Panther Punch, 30 cents. Carbolic Cocktail, 40 cents. Mickey Finn on the house. I'll have some Stratton Sour Mash with a jigger of Made of the Morning and soda.
Huh?
You don't have it.
I never even heard of it.
Oh, that's too bad. That's all I drink. But I do parlor tricks.
Yeah, what kind?
Give me a glass of water.
Okay. There.
Now, I take this $50 bill, fold it twice, place it on the bottom of the glass, and drink.
You nuts or something?
Now, with a little help from you, I can make that 50 stick to the bottom of the glass.
No.
And no one but you can get it off.
Well, let's try it. Helping Hand is my middle name.
All right. If Barney Folsom...
Right now. Pocket your 50 and blow.
Now, let me finish.
Mate, you just did, and I'll beat it before I heave you.
All right, but wrapped in this 50 is a telephone number. If a certain party calls it in 24 hours, the twin to this 50 will be in the mail.
I'm not saying anything, but supposing the gent in question gets a scuppers above water, who would he ask for?
Love dumpling.
What? Love dumpling? Love dumpling. Oh, that's rich. Love dumpling. Joe's place.
Joe, Mendoza, don't say nothing.
Yeah, okay, shoot.
There's a schmutzin at your bar. Tall, wavy hair. Dough written all over him.
Yeah.
I'm telling him. If he asks you questions, give him answers.
Okay.
I'll match anything he gives you.
That's a deal. Where are you?
I'm in your back room. Give me a knock when he flies.
Well, now, matey, what was you saying?
Your attitude changed mighty sudden.
Oh, I've been thinking while I was listening.
Well, pass the word. Just pass the word.
All right, but I got a hunch you just threw away 5 sawbucks.
Yeah?
Joe.
Come in.
Well, I haven't seen you in town for more than a year, man.
You don't see me now.
Right.
Okay, Spill.
He lipped about Bonnie Folsom.
Bonnie?
Yeah.
Quick, late on the line. I can't let him get away.
Well, he left me this card in a 50 and promised another half to see if Bonnie calls Love Dumpling at Crandall 4213.
Give me that card.
Yeah.
Here's a C.
Well, he only gave me 50.
That extra 50 makes up for the one that Schmutzin won't live long enough to give to you.
Who is it?
Bill.
Oh. You're late. I was afraid something had happened.
It took longer than I expected.
Mr. Galt, any news of my husband?
Not unless someone called this number before I got here.
They didn't. I've been thinking about what you said, Mr. Galt, about Barney. If he's what you say he is, I didn't know it.
Well, I have no proof, Mrs. Folsom. Our job is to get him safely to the police, and from there on, it's up to them.
Thank you. I happen to love him.
And that works both ways. If the syndicate wouldn't use you as the bait to draw him out of hiding,
he'd do anything for me. And this time, I wish he wouldn't.
I'll get it. Hello?
Love Dumpling?
No, this is...
Then I'll be right up.
Wait! He hung up.
Was it Barney?
Yes, he said he'd be right up, so he must have called from somewhere in the building.
Are you sure it was Barney Folsom?
Positive. He asked for Love Dumpling.
It's Barney, all right. He's still alive. Oh, Mr. Galt, if we both talk to him, he'll see that it's best to give himself up and throw himself on the mercy of the court. Oh, he's here, safe at last.
Mrs. Folsom, let me...
Barney! Oh, Barney! Oh!
Take it easy, Patty. The rest of you get him up.
Mendoza.
That was a bad slip, Schmutzin.
Schmutzin?
I'll explain it to you sometime. Now, how did you know my name?
Well, one time I saw your picture in the paper, and I remember...
I see. Pat, keep your mouth shut, and I'll take my hand away. Sorry I'm the one to do this, but if things were reversed, Barney would do the same to me.
Oh, no. Barney's not a killer.
Get wise, Pat. He's no good. Never has been. Never will be. Now, Schmutzin, you've played cute at the apartment. Too cute.
You admire me.
No, you're stupid. I tailed you and you didn't tumble.
From here, I can take it without prompting.
From here on, you'll take it, period. How do you tie into this deal?
I'm a lawyer.
But what do you want with Barney Folsom?
Oh, he's well known and... Well, I thought if he'd give himself up...
You'd defend him and grab off a slug of cash and a big slice of publicity. You ambulance chasers are all alike. You're all Schmutzins. All right, you want publicity, you'll get it. Turn around.
I'm fresh out of tricks. Looks like I do as you say.
Now you're showing your high IQ. You want to see Barney Folsom? Okay. I'll just make sure you'll be here when he phones.
Bill! Oh, no! Oh, you've killed him.
I assure you, it was purely intentional. Now, girls, take your last look at the body. You won't be seeing much of him anymore. Or for that matter, anyone else.
You are listening to The Whisperer, the story of Philip Galt, who skirts the thin edges of death, living his dual role. Whisperer has ordered Mendoza to kidnap Patricia Folsom and hold her captive. If she attempts to escape, Mendoza is to kill her. In his real identity of Philip Galt, Phil is trying to help Patricia. But Mendoza learns of his plans and strikes him on the head with the butt of his pistol. Taking Ellen and Patricia with him, Mendoza forces them to enter his car. Meanwhile, in Ellen's apartment, an hour passes. Phil still lies without movement. A second hour, and then a third hour passes. And the door of the apartment is stealthily opened and a man enters. Patiently, he sits, waiting for the first sign of life.
All right, snap out of it. I said snap out of it.
Who are you?
You sent for me, you ought to know.
Folsom?
Yeah. Now tell me what you've done with Pat or I'll cave in every rib you own.
I don't know where
she... Don't give me that.
You do that again and you'll never find her.
I'll do it several times and you'll be glad to talk. Where'd you learn our pet name?
She told me. I'm Phil Gall, a lawyer. I heard the syndicate was going to kidnap her.
So I'd come out of hiding where they could rub me out, huh? All right, go on.
I sent her here, but Mendoza...
Mendoza? He's doing a job?
Yes.
He always liked Pat, but he'd kill her without batting an eye. Who's this friend you mentioned?
Ellen Norris. After Mendoza tapped me, he must have taken her, too.
Oh, that gives you a stake in this.
Yes.
All right, any ideas?
I can find where they're being held, but I'll have to make a call in private.
No, so.
You'll have to trust me.
Why should I? I'll give Joe a ring and find out myself. Joe knows me. I can trust him. Douse your head under that water cooler. You don't look so good.
Yeah.
Easy. You're no good if you're out on your feet.
Joe's place. Sailor Joe speaking.
Joe.
Bonnie?
Yeah. I got your message through the grapevine.
Where are you?
Dame's apartment. Friend in the telephone company tipped me to the address.
You get Mendoza?
No, he's got Pat. Where are they holding her?
They ain't tipped it yet, not till the trap is ready for you.
All right, I'll stay here till you call me.
Good.
Any luck?
None. Look, Gall, I've got no choice but to trust you. I'll wait outside the door, but don't try anything.
I won't. Ellen's involved in this, too. Operator, get me Circle 1798, New York City. I'll wait.
Ready on your New York call.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Central City.
Go ahead, Central City.
Mendoza has completed first part of assignment. I have been contacted by Barney Folsom. Where is his wife being held?
In the Made of Mist Flower Warehouse at 9th and Grace. Do not give Folsom this information for 1 hour. We will be ready for him by that time.
Girl?
Yes.
Where is she?
In the Made of Mist Flower Warehouse at 9th and Grace.
All right, give me that phone. I know that joint. Offices in the front and the warehouse in the back. Yeah.
Joe's place. Sailor Joe speaking.
Joe, listen. I know where they're holding Pat.
Where?
I'm not saying yet. I need your help.
Just keep me clean. I'm your boy.
All right. Can you lay hands on a pulley that doesn't squeak in 150 feet of rope?
The pulley, yeah. The rope, no. But I got 60 feet in the back room.
All right, I'll make that do. Grab the rope and pulley and meet me at the corner of Marquette and Alvarado in half an hour. You're going with me.
I'll have the gear there, but going with you, I ain't.
All right. Half an hour. Feeling any better, Gall?
Yeah, a little.
All right, come on. I got a car downstairs. It's going to take both of us to get the girls out of that flower warehouse. Marquette and Alvarado Street.
And there's Joe.
Good. He brought the gear. Joe'll do anything for money, as long as it's safe. And this is safe, the way I'll play it. Stow in the back seat, Joe.
Yeah. This is heavy.
All right, now get in.
Hey, but I told you...
And I told you, get in.
Don't shoot.
I won't. You won't get hurt.
Well...
Joe?
Yeah?
Can you still climb a 50-foot rope hand over hand?
Might not get up, but I can go down it.
If you can, there's a C in it for you.
Folsom, you're beginning to sound like Buck Rogers.
Wish I had his ray gun. I could use it about now.
Are you familiar with this warehouse?
Every inch. They'll hold the girls in the front part in one of the offices. They'll expect me from the front.
You have a different entrance picked out?
Sure.
What's with the rope and pulley?
The roof. They're watching the front. We surprise them from the rear.
But a 60-foot rope and a 50-foot roof? For that, you need 100 feet of rope.
You should have studied engineering instead of law. It's a matter of balance and counterbalance.
Oh.
Beginning to get the picture, go?
Yes, yes. How many sacks of flour equal a little less than my weight?
Smart boy. Now, it's too bad I met you so late in your life.
A few minutes later, the black sedan parked in the dark of the warehouse. Three figures stole silently toward the back of the towering structure. Cautiously, they merged in the shadows and then began their ascent of the ladder which led to the roof. Careful prying and the skylight opened was quickly put aside. Across the huge beams, the pulley was fastened and the rope fed through it until one end rested on the dim floor of the warehouse.
She's down.
I tied a big knot in this end. Can't possibly slip through. Here, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll hold.
All right. Now let yourself down hand over hand. At the bottom, tie the slack around 4 100-pound sacks of flour.
Does he know which sacks are 100 pounds?
One, I loaded 1,000,000 pounds of flour. That's why I took up barkeeping.
All right, in you go, Joe. Now take it easy. Give a tug when you're ready.
Yeah, I got you. Don't you make no noise while I'm down there.
Don't worry, we won't.
You may be wrong and your weight's foresome. I weigh 195.
I tip at 215. With 400 pounds on the other end, we'll have 10 pounds advantage. That ought to let us down slow enough.
Would have been easier to let me go down hand over hand.
I'm taking no chances on you, Galt. We go down together. Here's the tug.
Hope he has 400 pounds on the other end of this rope. If he doesn't, we'll take a fast trip to the floor.
There's only one way to find out. All right, get a hold of the rope. And no funny business. Ready?
All set.
All right. Here I come.
Are we going down awfully fast?
It's too late to worry about that now.
Can't judge the distance.
All right, we're down. Don't turn loose.
Why, you think I'm crazy? That 400 pounds of flour would land right on our heads.
Joe?
Right here.
Oh, I couldn't see in the dark. All right, find something to snub the rope to.
Gotcha. Doesn't seem to be anything.
We can't hang on here all night. You find something?
Yeah, the bin wall is top for the 6 places.
Tie it good.
Yeah, I'm using a slip knot. Might want to get out in a hurry.
Will a slip knot hold 400 pounds at the top?
This one will. There. All right, you can turn loose now. When you want to go up, you just pull on the tag end, and that's all there is.
All right. Here's your C. When the shooting starts, slip out that side door and get lost.
Gotcha.
Till then, keep quiet.
Hands beginning to cramp.
All right, Galt. Now, from here on, no talking. You understand? We'll work our way through the warehouse into the offices. All right, touch my shoulder and follow me.
The section is dark.
Shh.
We'll try the next one. Awesome.
Huh?
There's a light under that door.
Look, Galt, I can't let you have the gun, but I'm going in there. If I go down and make your play...
That light's too obvious. Let's try something. There ought to be a light switch in this corridor.
There he is, right here.
You stay here. I'll break through that door. One will get you 500. The girls are in there, and Mendoza and the others will become swarming out of the dark rooms.
That's worth a try. If you're wrong, it's your neck.
I'll risk it. When I snap out the room light, flip this one on in the hall. Ready?
Go ahead.
I'll make enough noise to let them know I'm here.
Ellen!
Phil, it's a trick.
Turn around, Bonnie. It's all yours.
No! No!
Wrong boy, Mendoza.
Go. But where's Bonnie?
I'm behind you, Mendoza.
Turn off that light! Mickey! Bruno! He's in here!
Phil, get his gun.
I've got it.
I hear him. There we are, Pat.
As soon as they run that corner.
Try again, Mickey.
Bonnie. Oh, Bonnie.
It's all right. It's all over, Pat. Bruno got me in the shoulder, but I got him dead center. All right, you can come out now.
Phil, are you all right?
Not a scratch.
All right, Galt. Drop it.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Galt. I hate to do this, but...
Bonnie. He saved my life.
I know, but it's him or me. He knows too much.
You can give yourself up and be safe.
I'll never be safe. I'll have a better chance with him gone, though. All right, come on. Move back down that hall.
Bonnie, I've never believed all the things they said about you.
Quiet, Pat.
I've never believed them, Bonnie. Please, please don't make them come true.
Keep moving.
Folsom, you're not in over your head yet. All they can prove is attempted manslaughter. That may mean a few years, but this means the hot seat.
Turn left out in the warehouse.
He's right, Bonnie. Give yourself up. I'll wait for you.
Snap on those lights, Galt.
Phil, what's he going to do?
Look up at the roof. dangling on the end of that rope.
They look like bags of flour.
400 pounds of flour to the ounce.
But I don't understand.
See that rope snubbed to the cribbing on the floor? Put a loop around my neck, pull that slip knot, and I'll break my neck against the roof.
Barney, you wouldn't do that.
I got to. But that's far enough. Stand right there. Pat, there's a noose in the end of that slack rope. Put it around their necks. Leave Ellen out of this.
No. Barney, you can't do this.
Do as I say! That flower will give you a quick trip up to eternity, Gorg.
Barney, I can't.
Oh, then give it to me and I'll do it.
You're really going through with this?
What do you think? All right. Toss me the rope.
Mr. Galt?
Yes?
I'm tossing him the rope.
You fool, not over my head.
Thanks for the warning.
Yes! Pat, no! Don't do it!
How awful.
It was what he planned for us, Ellen.
But how did the rope come untied?
It was a slip knot, Ellen. Somewhere, I don't know how, it accidentally came loose.
No, Mr. Galt. I untied it.
Come on, Ellen. Let's get her down to the police station where she'll be safe.
Phil, ages ago, before this horrible day was half over, you mentioned that you were a schmutzen.
Huh? Oh, so I did, Ellen. So I did.
Well, what is a schmutzen?
Well, when you find a schmutzen, according to Mendoza, there's only one way to treat it. Here, stand up and I'll show you.
All right.
First, you seize the schmutzen firmly here and here, and then you... Oh! Hey! Oh! Oh!
Oh! Oh, Phil, I didn't mean to hurt you. Oh, you poor lamb. Well, you got a nasty bump on your forehead. Oh, let Ellen kiss it off. Mr. Galt.
You like that?
Very much. Let's do it again.
Oh, no.
Oh, darn. Let it ring.
I can't. That's my private line to the syndicate. Now, shh.
Central City.
Where have you been, Central City? We've been trying to reach you for more than an hour.
I was away on business.
Your only business is the syndicate. You slipped up on this, Central City. Mendoza and Folsom were both killed less than an hour ago.
I know that. The police are holding Patricia Folsom in protective custody.
We have no further interest in her. But a word of warning to you. Watch yourself. Your district is becoming a headache.
I'll try and do better.
See that you do. For further instructions, call Dallas at midnight.
Dallas at midnight.
The Whisperer, starring Carl DeYoung, is based upon characters created by Stetson Humphrey, and any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Betty Moran plays Ellen. Others in the cast were Edith Tacna, Paul Frees, Harry Gardino, and Larry Dobkin. Today, The Whisperer was written, produced, and directed by Bill Karn. Original music by Johnny Duffy. This is Don Rickles inviting you to join us again next Sunday for another adventure with... This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.